from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspic. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Coming up on today's show, I want to talk about the new dimensions at Oracle Park that were finally released in the last couple of days, the Giants sending out official renderings of what the project is going to look like yesterday. Also want to talk about another change, a big, major, significant change at Oracle Park. And I want to talk about Madison Bumgarner's free agency and the Giants' history of long-term contracts to starting pitchers. Objectively, we're going to look at that history. But first, I do think that the dimensions are worth discussing at the top of the show here. Finally, we have the renderings about what this project is going to look like. So the full story, if you're kind of just joining in on this story now, is that the Giants were one of just three teams that still had their bullpens on the field. And there have been a number of players who have tripped over those bullpens, including most notably Mack Williamson, who tripped over the bullpen mounds going after a fly ball and went headfirst into the sidewall and sustained a concussion that effectively ended his season and derailed what was looking like a potential breakout type year for Williamson. Granted, it was like week one of that performance, so I'm not suggesting that that was necessarily what was going to happen with him, but he was getting a chance to play and he was thriving with that chance. He actually stayed in the game and homered later in that game, but ended up having to go down with a concussion, and he missed, I think, the rest of the year with that. And, you know, Steven Duggar tripped on the mounds, I think it was last year. Bryce Harper once fell on the mounds, and reportedly it was a concern of his when the Giants were trying to get him to sign with them last winter. So there's just no doubt. I mean, the mounds and the way people have tripped over them is a serious safety issue for players. And I've always been on board with them getting them off the field and killing two birds with one stone, so to speak, by putting them in the outfield while also shortening up the ballpark a little bit because it had become so extreme in its pitcher friendliness. So the new drawings are out and we'll talk about those dimensions. Basically, it's just a straight line in a few feet from the left center corner to the right center corner. So naturally it changes the center field distance as well as the two corners, left center and right center. So the left center corner goes from 404, which is one of the deeper gaps in baseball, down to 399. And center field, which was 399 to begin with, is now going to be 391. So that is an unorthodox center field distance. Normally, most stadiums, it's around 400 feet. So 391 is quite shallow, and I believe it's going to be the second most shallow center field now in all of baseball behind just the Boston Red Sox. But their center field wall is very high, and the new Giants center field wall is actually getting shortened by 1 foot from 8 feet to 7 feet. And Triples Alley, the right center field gap, is going from 421 feet down to 415 feet. So the gaps are not being reduced by that much, 5 or 6 feet, but center field getting reduced by 8 feet. So really, they're modest changes if you really think about it. And the pictures look nice. I mean, the bullpens apparently are going to be a little bit raised over the field level. They're going to include bathrooms. The Giants made sure to point that out, but obviously that's important. You don't want the relievers having to run into the clubhouse between innings to use the bathroom. Fans are going to be able to have standing room only tickets where they can stand around and just basically watch the relievers. They're going to have views into those bullpens from a concourse type area. And in the bleachers, you're going to be able to just look down into the bullpens as well. So I encourage anyone who's curious about this to just find, you know, search online for Giants new bullpens field dimensions and you'll be able to find the pictures. I think it looks pretty good. And I think it's a good thing, just, you know, whatever marginal difference it might make for improving offense, the Giants will take that. You know, their hitters have been punished by this ballpark since it opened, except, you know, maybe Barry Bonds, but everyone else hitting the ball out to right center particularly, but also left center. It's just been a death valley out there. So maybe they'll get some cheap home runs to straightaway center, for example. And I think the hitters would deserve that. And I don't think it's going to turn the park into a bandbox. The changes are so small that if anything, it'll just have a small effect, but one that favors hitters, obviously, somewhat. So the other piece of news about the ballpark is that the Giants have announced that they're going to be one of seven teams extending the protective netting from foul pole to foul pole. And this has followed a trend in recent years. It wasn't long ago at all that we just had the kind of backstop right behind the plate, and then there was no netting. But in recent years, the netting has been extended further and further. The Giants had their nets extend among the furthest in the game, which I think was like past the dugouts a little bit. But now it's going to go foul pole to foul pole. And frankly, this couldn't have happened soon enough, in my opinion. This always seems to stir up some debate, you know, because fans complain about, you know, having their views obstructed by the net. But the technology of these nets has improved, and you can really, you don't even notice them if you just sit there and focus on the game. Your eyes adjust and you basically just see right through them. And it's a serious safety issue. And I have a theory that anyone who says that the nets are a bad thing and that fans need to just pay attention and bring their glove never actually played baseball. I don't know any baseball player. I mean, definitely at the major league level, but I would even, this is my theory, so you can tell me if I'm totally wrong about this if you played. But most people, I think, who played baseball understand the danger of a hard hit ball going into the stands. Okay? Because A, people have been hit and seriously injured and even killed by foul balls flying into the stands, often at over 100 miles an hour. You've got children, you've got elderly people, you've got just unathletic people without gloves. And those people are allowed to be there, you know? Just because you might feel like you can react to a foul ball with your glove doesn't mean everybody has to do that at a baseball game. It's just not a reasonable expectation. And I would say that I'm as into a game as anyone who may go to a game from time to time. And inevitably, there are some pitches that I miss, okay? Because maybe somebody said something loud and I turn my head to see what the noise was. Or I'm looking down to grab something out of my backpack, like grab a water bottle out of my backpack, and I miss a pitch. It happens. If you say it never happens, I think that's just disingenuous. So maybe I'm arguing against, you know, nobody who actually has a contrary opinion here, but I know it always does stir up some controversy somehow. So just super happy about this because it's going to dramatically decrease the chances of that happening. And I think the players probably love this too because they don't want to have to deal with the emotional turmoil that goes along with them unintentionally just seriously injuring someone by hitting a foul ball. So I think it's just great all the way around. And again, the Giants didn't have to do this, but they're one of seven teams that elected to do it voluntarily. The A's, tip of the hat to the A's, are one of those seven teams as well. Anyway, coming up in the second half of the show, I want to talk about contracts Giants have handed out to starting pitchers over the years, because here we are, Madison Bumgarner's a free agent. There's a lot of differing opinions out there about what the Giants should do and will do with Bumgarner. So I just want to provide a little bit of an objective history of how some of these deals have gone for them in the past. If you're a Spotify listener, use Spotify Wrapped to show us your top Locked On podcasts for the year. Take a screenshot and tag us at Locked On Live and at Ben Caspick on Twitter, and we will share and retweet. We talk about baseball performance all the time on this show, but what about performance in the bedroom? That's right. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew is the first chewable with the same active FDA-approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. They can be taken anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Yes, I actually know someone who has tried this product and they have extremely positive things to report about its effectiveness. The best part about Blue Chew is that it's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so there's no more visit to the doctor's office, waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness around this topic. Blue Chew is made in the United States and prepares and shipped direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit www.bluechew.com and get your first shipment free when you use special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's it. Again, that's BLUEchew.com, promo code MLB, and try it. It's free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Okay, as promised, here in the second half of the show, I want to objectively look at some contracts the Giants have given out to starting pitchers over the years that have been in excess of $50 million, just kind of as a arbitrary starting point that indicates a significant deal for a starting pitcher. I don't believe I'm missing anyone here when I say $50 million or more since 2007 for a starting pitcher, but we have Barry Zito, Matt Cain, Johnny Cueto, and Jeff Samardzija. And just as a precursor, I want to say that it's been reported that Madison Bumgarner is seeking a contract of at least $100 million, probably over 5 years. So the Barry Zito deal was for 7 years and $126 million. The Matt Cain deal, which was not a free agent deal, it was an extension before he reached free agency, but it was for 6 years and $127.5 million. Johnny Cueto signed for 6 years, $130 million, and Jeff Samardzija signed for 5 years and $90 million. So I want to break it down by how those actually worked out. We're going to use wins above replacement just as a all-encompassing metric that kind of just values the win contributions of those players over the life of the contract. So Barry Zito, according to Fangraphs, produced 6.5 wins above replacement in his 7 seasons. So the Giants ended up paying $19.4 million per win above replacement for that contract. From Matt Cain, they got 3.9 wins above replacement over the 6 years. So they were paying $32.7 million per win above replacement. Johnny Cueto so far has been paid $81 million over 4 years, produced 6.3 wins above replacement. That's $12.9 million per win above replacement. Samardzija has been paid $70.2 million over 4 years so far and has produced 7.4 wins above replacement. That's $9.5 million per win above replacement. So I apologize for all the numbers, but suffice it to say, the Giants have spent a total of $405 million on these four players. And of course, it's really, in today's dollars, more than that because like the Barry Zito deal was over 10 years ago. So if we were to adjust for inflation, it's effectively more than that. But out of that $405 million, they've only gotten 24.1 wins above replacement, or about $17 million per WAR. So we know that the going rate in today's dollars for a win above replacement is about $5 million. So the Giants have paid more than 3 times that amount per WAR for these four starting pitchers. So an average major league player is worth about 2 wins above replacement per season. So to put that in context, Matt Cain, like I said, 3.9 WAR over 6 years and $127.5 million. He had the equivalent of 2 average major league seasons over 6 years for close to $130 million. Think about that. It was a disastrous contract, and really all four of these have been overpays and contracts that the Giants would live to regret. Johnny Cueto is still owed $49 million over the next 2 years, and Jeff Samardzija is set to earn about $20 million this year, the last year of his contract. So there's just not a lot of history with the Giants signing a starting pitcher for over $50 million and it working out well at all. I think like best case is the Samardzija or Cueto result, which has been some good, some bad, and plenty of missed time with injuries. So the point that I'm just trying to make, I guess, I know I said this was going to be objective, and I'm trying to keep it that way, is that to those of us who just say, sign Bumgarner at all costs, no matter what he wants, he needs to come back, you can't let him walk, he's too important. Like, I get all those points, but if you're talking about $100+ million, or even in that neighborhood, this is the history. The history is those have not worked out when you look back on them. And so you might feel that way today, but you know, in year 5 or 6 of Matt Cain's deal, and really in years 1, 2, 3, and 4 as well, we could look back on it and say it was a mistake. And maybe some will have the humility to admit that this is what they wanted, and so they're not going to blame Farhan Zaidi. But let's just say he does sign him for 5 years, $100 million, and you know, the projections in 2020 come true because he already has bad projections in 2020, league average-like projections. And then, you know, decline starts to come in where you get into being below average towards the middle and back end of the contract. People are going to criticize Farhan Zaidi for that contract, including the media, who's now saying he basically must sign him, and it'd be an utter disaster if Bumgarner signed with somebody else like the Dodgers. And I get that. But the same people who are writing this now will be writing about how bad of a decision it was, and that it was an emotional decision and he wasn't supposed to come in here and make emotional decisions. So it's a lose-lose. It's really a lose-lose. So that's why I believe they're going to be objective and they're going to do what they think puts them in the best position to build a sustainable winner, and they have to ignore fan sentiment, and even this fan sentiment that I'm afraid has leaked and seeped into the media as well. So we on this show are not going to do that. We're looking at objectively, what have these deals done to the Giants? They put them in the position that got Bobby Evans fired. Okay, because this is just starters. We're not even looking at relievers like Mark Melanson, $64 million over 4 years. Position players, Hunter Pence got rewarded with a big deal, and it totally wasn't worth it. We could do the same type of breakdown where they're paying like $20+ million per win above replacement, when, like I said, the going rate for a win above replacement is closer to $5 million. So if you're Farhan Zaidi, like, you can't react to public sentiment and sign a deal that you think is going to end up being bad. You just can't. You appease the fans in the short term, but then they're going to bury you for it in the long term. So maybe you have to make the fans unhappy in the short term, because 2, 3, 4 years from now, you have an awesome team that is sustainable and becomes like what the Dodgers have become, which is a perennial contender to win 100+ games every year. That's what they're trying to build. And handing out contracts just to reward a player for something they did 5+ years ago is not the way to do that. That being said, I'm not saying Bumgarner is terrible. At a certain price, he would be worth it. But you know, the idea that they just must sign at all costs because of what he's done, just not going to happen, and just a bad idea. And I just promise you that most of the people who say that now would also criticize the Giants and Farhan Zaidi specifically if that contract ended up not working out. And that's not fair, yet that's the reality of the situation. So anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Didn't get to do a Q&A this week. Forgot about it, but you know, the winter meetings, I think, kind of messed with the schedule a little bit, but we'll definitely do that next week, possibly on Monday, if no news breaks over the weekend. Remember, to get this show every day, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Caspick. That's where we do the Q&A, so check me out there and you can submit questions. Really hope you enjoyed today's show. Cannot wait to be with you again on Monday. And until then, we'll see you next time.